This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A frenetic week. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, September 27th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Congress begins a pressure-filled few days with work ahead on an infrastructure bill, a social spending package, and a looming government funding deadline.
The National Transportation Safety Board is looking for the cause of an Amtrak derailment in northern Montana that killed three people.
A new team of scientists from the World Health Organization is revisiting the origins of the coronavirus, exploring whether it escaped from a lab in China.
And the new way to buy things, live stream shopping on an app-like network.
So a network is an app where you download it to your phone, you can open it, and then you have access to different live streams that are put on at appointed times. And within it, sellers are selling, you know, everything from sneakers to shirts to collectible figures to books to things of, you know, even art, things of that nature.
Jacob Gallagher with the Wall Street Journal on whether live stream shopping is the future of retail. What a week facing members of Congress who are starting negotiations over expiring government funding and the threat of a possible U.S. default on its debt. Democratic leaders are trying to pass two complicated legislative packages, a roughly $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill, and a massive social spending package worth $3.5 trillion. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on ABC.
This is a big, beyond a big deal. So let's hope that the Republicans will find some level of responsibility.
For the second measure, infighting among Democrats involves, among other things, the giant price tag. It would be spent on health care, education, and the climate. Texas Republican Congressman Kevin Brady on Fox.
This is a economic and political crisis of the Democrats' own making.
At the same time, the government's funding is set to expire Thursday night, hours after the House is set to vote on the infrastructure bill. Also, lawmakers are posturing over who is responsible for raising the debt limit and avoiding a potentially catastrophic default. Five people remain in the hospital after a deadly Amtrak derailment in rural Montana. Three people were killed Saturday when the westbound Empire Builder left the tracks near the town of Joplin in north-central Montana near the Canadian border. Dozens of others were injured when eight cars derailed. Montana Governor Greg Gianforte said several cars were resting on their sides and rescue crews needed to use the jaws of life to help people trapped inside. Sarah Robin is emergency services coordinator in Liberty County.
We even had, you know, civilians stopping along the side of the road. One guy from Gallatin County, and I don't know what exact, you know, entity that he worked in, but he just saw that we had an emergency and was like, hey, I'm here, use me.
The train was traveling from Chicago to Seattle and Portland, Oregon. Approximately 141 passengers and 16 crew were on board at the time of the derailment. Several people were taken by helicopter to hospitals around the state, and some patients were sent to a facility in Kalispell, nearly 200 miles west of the crash site. Overseas now, an election in Germany saw center-left Social Democrats capture the biggest share of the vote, narrowly beating outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right Union Bloc. Ultimately, the winner will determine who will replace Ms. Merkel as leader of Europe's biggest economy. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Social Democrats candidate is Olaf Scholz, the outgoing vice chancellor and finance minister, who has received credit for leading his party out of a years-long slump. His party and Ms. Merkel's Union Bloc both said they'd reach out to smaller parties to discuss forming a government, while Ms. Merkel stays on in a caretaker role in the meantime. Neither party received more than 30% of the vote. Germany's leading parties have significant differences when it comes to taxation and tackling climate change. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. Ms. Merkel's successor, by the way, will have to oversee the country's recovery from the coronavirus pandemic, which Germany so far has weathered relatively well thanks to large rescue programs. Coming up next, President Biden's test with bickering Democrats. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Monday. Republicans feared President Biden would be relentless in enacting liberal policies with his congressional majorities, but Democratic division has thwarted him from turning that into a reality. Now Mr. Biden must bring bickering Democrats together, or his party's candidates may have no achievements to campaign on in the 2022 midterm elections. But Naomi Lim, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner, says so far the president has had little success. Naomi, explain.
Basically, I think Republicans really feared President Biden, along with his congressional majorities, would enact this sweeping reforms. And we're seeing, particularly over this past month, as he's pivoted from his foreign policy to in Afghanistan to his domestic policy in regards to this huge social welfare and climate change spending package, we're seeing that this sort of cliche of Democrats being in disarray are really hampering him from notching any success. Now, that is changing slightly. We're hearing from sources on the Hill that they're going to bring a bill in the coming days, but that is for the House. What happens then is when they try to get agreement in the Senate, again, there's going to be negotiations that take place, not only over the scope of this legislation, but its provisions and its price tag.
So what I thought was fascinating is that, I believe it was last weekend, you've got Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders kind of representing the progressives, saying we're not coming down in price on, say, the $3.5 trillion plan because I initially wanted $6 trillion. So this is my compromise number, right? And yet some to maybe the right of him are saying, you know, the price tag's too high, I'm not on board.
So I think that this idea of this top line figure is something that actually Democrats that were invited to the White House by the president, it was something that the president really wanted to get out of them. As you mentioned, the Sanders wing of the party has been very adamant. You know, he did come down from $6 trillion to $3, which sources sort of say that that was because he wanted this $3 trillion figure to begin with, but by over negotiating or starting with that big number, he was able to come down. The problem for Biden was that the centrist Democrats are not saying the number that they are willing to okay. And even the president was speaking just recently in the White House, sort of saying, he sort of shed some insight into the process, but he was asking these lawmakers, you know, what do you want? What are your must-haves? And he said that there was this trend towards they actually agree on this number, but they just don't want to say that publicly. So I think that this is going to be something that I think just optics. It is a huge thing, particularly when we're coming up across these other economic hurdles in terms of raising the debt ceiling and also running out of government money to keep the federal government open.
We're speaking with Naomi Lim, White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called Biden's Reverse Midas Touch Threatens Democratic Agenda. Do Democrats need this for legislative victory purposes on the campaign trail?
So to be fair to Biden, he has had one big win, and that is that $1.9 trillion coronavirus spending package. But that also happened in March. It's been months since that happened, and we've seen his approval ratings dip as he's faced, I guess, challenges that he couldn't prepare for during his transition. For example, the Afghanistan withdrawal, where you know, a dozen service members were killed in the aftermath of a terrorist attack. Then combined with this sort of this inability to put an end to the pandemic, and that might not be Biden's fault because of the Delta variant, but there's this perception that he campaigned on competency, and that's something that's not coming through. So to take something positive, I mean, now that Biden does not have Donald Trump as a foil in next year's midterms, not just Biden, but also congressional Democrats, they do need something to campaign on, particularly because they do have this sort of united control of both houses of Congress as well as the White House. So, you know, if it fails, or if I think one Senator Joe Manchin also, pardon me, wants to delay this until next year, I think that if there is any more delay, I think that if, you know, if it doesn't come together, I think that is a huge chink in Biden and other Democrats' armor going into next year's midterms.
Thanks, Naomi. Naomi Lim, White House reporter at The Washington Examiner. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced a new date for the vote on the bipartisan infrastructure bill after committing to moderate Democrats in August that the vote would take place by today. Now Pelosi says the vote will be Thursday. She spoke with ABC.
When I say we're ready, we've investigated, or shall we say, documented everything that we need to be ready with legislative language to go forward.
Democrats in Congress are facing a critical week on Capitol Hill as they seek to navigate internal divisions that could endanger President Biden's domestic policy agenda, all while staring down a fast-approaching deadline to avoid a lapse in government funding before month's end.
Number two.
Federal investigators are seeking the cause of an Amtrak train derailment near a switch on tracks in the middle of vast farmland in far northern Montana that killed three people and left seven hospitalized over the weekend. The westbound Empire Builder was traveling from Chicago to Seattle when it left the track Saturday afternoon near Joplin, a town of about 200. Liberty County Emergency Services Coordinator Sarah Robin on ABC.
Any fatality is awful. It could have been worse. We had beautiful weather, we had quick response, and we had a multitude of response.
The train was carrying 141 passengers and 16 crew members.
Number three.
Germany is embarking on a potentially lengthy search for its next government after the center-left Social Democrats narrowly beat outgoing Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right bloc in an election that failed to set a clear direction for Europe's biggest economy under a new leader. Leaders of the parties in the newly elected parliament are meeting today to digest a result that saw Merkel's union bloc slump to its worst ever result in a national election. One thing we learned yesterday, 37 seconds is way too much time for Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, even with no timeouts remaining. Rodgers drove his offense down the field to lead the comeback against the 49ers, setting up the game-winning field goal as time expired, as heard on WTMJ.
Place been made, kick to the uprights, and it is!
The Packers won it 30-28.
So it was good?
I think it went through. It just slipped through, I think.
That's some exciting stuff. Football season, as you know, has returned. It's great when your favorite sport comes back, but the sport of business doesn't have an off season. All year long, you demand excellence from your craft and your wardrobe. When you've got the timeless style and comfort that makes you look as good as you feel, you do your best work. For that, there's Cuts Clothing. Cuts started by reinventing the t-shirt. Their signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend Tee has been described as the only shirt worth wearing by GQ. As soon as I tried it on, they won me over. These shirts are comfortable, but they're fashionably flexible. I've worn them with everything from shorts and sandals to undersuit jackets. Cuts has developed fabrics uniquely engineered for each clothing style. Hoodies, polos, crew sweatshirts, and more. That are cutting-edge comfort you have to wear to believe. To do your best, you need to feel your best. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. 15% off the only shirt worth wearing at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. Today's job market is already starkly different from its pre-pandemic version. There's the much greater likelihood of working from home, of course, but also the much greater chance of protocols concerning masks and social distancing when physically at the job. That said, should your resume or LinkedIn profile indicate that you're #vaccinated? Here's Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. Andy, what are you hearing?
So we all have our resumes out there that where we want to distinguish ourselves from the herd, you know, show our talents, show our skills, shows what make us special and worth at least a job interview. Here we are at this phase of the pandemic, and there are people who are putting their vaccination status out there. And the folks that I talked to on this, they weren't viewing this as a political statement. They were really just viewing this as a way to get a competitive edge with employers who are kind of feel a little squeamish about asking and when they should ask and how they should ask about vaccination. So it's just sort of out there, and it makes the process easier. And so they're hoping that that gets them in the door.
Wow. Anybody with some sort of anecdotal tale so far that it's helped them?
You know, the two folks I talked to, and there are, you know, looking through LinkedIn, it's not hard to find. But the two folks I talked to, they didn't see any sort of measurable difference yet in the time that they, you know, since they put their vaccination status out there. I don't know. That was also before the Biden administration is starting to prepare these rules on these mandates where you know, private employers have to either have vaccination or regular testing. And so maybe it does change in the future, again, when more employers, they don't want to deal with asking and they just know it already.
Yeah. Have recruiters weighed in here at all?
I talked to one fellow who, and he actually works with both sides. He works with the companies that are recruiting, and he works with job candidates trying to further their careers. And he says this issue of vaccination status and how to broach the issue and when to broach the issue and exactly how to do it is like the number one burning question right now. And frankly, he said he doesn't have a great answer quite yet right now. There's sort of three places where this could pop up. It could be your LinkedIn profile. It could be your resume. It could be during the job interview. And I mean, he has a couple of thoughts. I mean, one thing he was saying is, you know, for what it's worth, for better or for worse, if you put your vaccination status out there on LinkedIn, it's out there. Like, and that maybe that brings in people who wouldn't otherwise be paying attention. Maybe it turns off people who otherwise wouldn't be paying attention.
Thanks, Andy. Andrew Keschner, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, September 27. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A busy week ahead on multiple projects for Congress with deadlines looming. NTSB probing a deadly Amtrak derailment in Montana. World Health Organization revisiting whether the coronavirus may have originated in a Chinese lab. Wall Street Journal says despite mounting shipping delays, the busiest U.S. port located in L.A. is not operating 24/7, nor 7 days a week. The youngest U.S. team in history handed Europe its worst loss in capturing the Ryder Cup and trying to reunite a toddler with a toy missing since the 9/11 attacks. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's semi-annual sale for business has arrived. Save up to 45% on Dell computers with Windows 10 Pro to succeed anywhere. Just call 877-ASK-DELL. Have you heard of yet live stream shopping? The digital shopping experience is playing out on Network, a three-year-old live shopping app that could be billed as QVC for hype beasts. At appointed times, store owners, designers, and personalities host live streams to show off whatever they're selling that day. Insight from Jacob Gallagher, fashion writer at the Wall Street Journal. Jacob, how does Network operate?
So Network is an app where you download it to your phone, you can open it, and then you have access to different live streams that are put on at appointed times. And within it, sellers are selling, you know, everything from sneakers to shirts to collectible figures to books to things of, you know, even art, things of that nature. And watching it, the experience, you know, is reminiscent of kind of a scrappier QVC, I would say, in that, you know, they're talking through the products, they're explaining the provenance of them, and they're explaining how many are made, and they're explaining why you'd want to buy them and all that kind of good stuff. But it really is this kind of handheld, very youth focused, I would say youth oriented, version of QVC, this kind of extension of that. And live stream shopping is a concept that, you know, in America, it has not really caught on significantly yet. You know, Amazon and Walmart have made stabs at it. Various companies have made stabs at it. You have, you know, certain sellers that will go on Facebook Live and sell it, sell certain products. But to have a concrete app, we've not really had in America kind of take off in a significant way yet. With that said, you know, in China, it's a huge concept, you know, so there's a lot of runway here, I think, for this to take off. But Network, you know, so far is it's doing pretty well. I think it's kind of building slowly, but it is an interesting kind of new way to shop on your phone.
All right. So, and how does it work? You just click add to cart, pretty much it?
Yeah. Right on the screen, there's just a swipe up. You click add to cart. Network handles the financial end of the transaction and takes a 20% cut of it. And then the seller who, you know, puts on the live stream, they're the one that handles the shipping. So in that sense, it's closer to like a drop shipping model effectively. But yeah.
And then are there bargains to be found here, or is that not necessarily what the site is for?
It's not really a bargain hunting thing. It's more of a hype thing, so to speak. So it's really best thought of as a extension of the drop system, which kind of exists in the street fashion world, you know, the sneaker world in particular, where you have a limited product, you release it at an appointed time, you have to buy it then in order to get it. You know, kind of price matters, but not a lot. What really people are after are these limited things. And if you notice in scrolling through the app, you'll really see that it's the things that are the rarest, the things that are the most hyped up, the things that are the most, you know, kind of have the most clout around them, if you will. Those are the things that really do seem to be the most in demand. Those are the things that seem to be selling the best. The things that are kind of wider release shirts, wider release sneakers, they seem to sell okay. They don't seem to sell super well, I would say, based on what I have seen. Granted, Network does not release figures of how many people watch the live streams or how many sales they have on particular live streams. But based on talking to, you know, vendors who have put on live streams, it's those limited things that seem to do, again, quite well there. And that speaks to, you know, I spoke to some sneaker customizers. So these guys that take a pair of Nikes and do them up so that they're completely one of one. You know, those are the kind of creators that seem to be doing particularly well on the app, because they're releasing things that are effectively entirely idiosyncratic. And that really seems to be what the Network consumer wants. And I spoke with the CEO and he kind of said as much, that, you know, they're not playing for the mass audience. They're not playing to compete with Amazon or Walmart or anything like that. They're really competing against, you know, really what would be like almost a resale site right now, you know, or someone, I guess that there isn't even like really a good comparison right now of someone that's kind of consolidated all of these hyped products into one. But again, I think that for right now,
you are still seeing stuff on the app that does not adhere to that necessarily, and that's the stuff that's sitting.
Thanks, Jacob. Jacob Gallagher, fashion writer at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. So, you know, one of the things we've discovered over the years is that there's almost nothing that people won't try to sell for inflated prices on eBay, presumably because there's somebody out there that will buy it. The latest, Pokemon Oreos. Launched earlier this month, the new collaboration features the brand's traditional sandwich cookies emblazoned with one of 16 Pokemon. An eBay search yields dozens of the cookies for sale with prices listed everywhere from $50 to $100,000. Some listings promise a mint condition cookie. One claims the cookie was only handled with tongs, while others include photos showing the snack tucked safely in a plastic baggie. Judging from the items listed as sold, a number of the cookies have gone for as low as $50 or a few dollars actually, and some for more than $15,000.
For a mint condition.
Mint condition cookie.
Is that a play on words? Is it a cookie that is perhaps crumbled?
Yes.
And it happens to be a mint Oreo cookie.
Yeah.
And is being, I don't know, you know, overhyped,
look,
let's
say. We're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. I don't think we mess around with, you know, plays on words and that kind of thing. We're talking straight, original white cream Oreos.
Yeah.
We're not, there's no mint involved. But, yeah. But I see what you're trying to do there.
Yeah. I would like to just make a request. Yeah. Of the mic drop team,
okay,
that puts these stories together.
Yes.
Could we focus on Oreos? Yes. But any future references of Pokemon just seem completely irrelevant.
Really? Irrelevant?
Yeah, and I know that that's like a generational thing because
yes.
I'm an old guy.
Right.
But Pokemon to me, just useless in all stories going forward.
All right, fine. Well, then this is for my kids then. How about that?
Okay.
Who would probably, if they had $15,000, yeah, might spend it on one of these Oreos.
I know the team spends a lot of time working on this, but just let's just focus on food-related stuff and leave Pokemon silly references
right
out of this.
My kids won't be writing the mic drop segment from now on. And if you've spent any amount of time on social media, you probably know Drew Scanlon's face. A GIF using his face, known as Blinking Guy, is estimated to have been used more than 1.7 billion times across the internet to express disbelief or confusion. It even has its own Twitter page. And Scanlon isn't wasting that internet fame. He's using it for good by soliciting donations for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society to aid with research and advocacy for the disease. Last week, he appealed to his Twitter followers to pitch in, writing, "If this GIF has ever brought you joy in the past, I humbly ask that you consider making a donation to the National MS Society." Many chipped in, helping the 35-year-old video game developer raise more than $75,000 for a total of over $150,000 over the last 5 years. Scanlon's famous blinking face was the result of a moment in 2013 when he and his co-workers at a gaming site were live streaming themselves playing video games. One of his co-workers made an off-color joke, and Scanlon reacted with what has now become his famous expression.
I never heard the backstory.
Yeah, so yeah. I guess they was being recorded for this, yeah, and somebody he was working with or somebody who was watching, I think, online, posted it, and then he just became the blinking guy.
That's funny.
It's older than that. I can't believe it's only been 8 years. Yeah. It seems like it's been around since almost the dawn of the internet.
I guess I owe a donation. I think I've used that before in a text, I think.
Yes. Yeah. If you've ever texted that, right, to somebody, chip in a couple bucks.
I love his approach. He said, you know, the wording of it. If this GIF has ever brought you joy, I humbly ask you to consider making. Yeah, I like that.
He's doing a good job with it.
Good job by him. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better, Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. HARRYS, harrys.com/deal. Hey, thanks for being with us. Don't forget to check out a podcast of the program. You can find it on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on all the popular podcast platforms. Don't count on any last-minute deals. When it comes to getting a bargain on holiday airfare, there is no time like the present. According to the flight tracking experts at Hopper, the lowest prices are very likely available right now. That's the prediction in Hopper's annual holiday travel guidance report. For Thanksgiving, travelers should expect domestic airfare of around $300 round trip, which is up 23% from 2020. Hopper said fares for Thanksgiving will spike after Halloween and cost about $400 round trip leading up to Thanksgiving. Those who wait until the last minute, the week of Thanksgiving, to book will pay an additional $100 per ticket on average. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has set a vote on the $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill for Thursday and voiced confidence it will pass. Debate on the legislation, which passed the Senate and with Democratic and Republican support on August 10th, and would help fund road, bridge, airport, school, and other construction projects will begin today. Pelosi has not yet set a date to bring the floor a larger $3.5 trillion social welfare and climate bill, but says it's self-evident the larger spending bill will shrink in size.
Number two.
Hurricane Sam is storming westward through the Atlantic Basin, a powerful Category 4 storm. The forecasters hope will stay far enough from land to avoid major damage from its 150-mile-per-hour winds and heavy rains. AccuWeather forecasters say a dip in the jet stream would steer Sam away from the U.S., but if the stream moves westward, Sam could get very close to the U.S. next weekend.
Number three.
With more than 40 million doses of coronavirus vaccines available, U.S. health authorities say they're confident there will be enough for both qualified older Americans seeking booster shots and the young children for whom initial vaccines are expected to be approved in the not-too-distant future. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky told CBS decisions will be forthcoming on boosters for others.
We are meeting, you know, every several weeks now to evaluate the science. The science may very well show that the rest of the population needs to be boosted, and we will provide those guidances as soon as we have the science to inform them.
More than 70 million Americans remain unvaccinated. An earthquake with a magnitude of 5.8 struck the Greek island of Crete today, killing one person and injuring several others, while damaging homes and churches and causing rock slides near the country's fourth largest city. Repeated aftershocks rattled the area, adding to damage in villages near the epicenter. Dear Evan Hansen may have been a hit on Broadway, but the filmed adaptation of the Tony-winning show is off to a slow start at the box office. The Universal musical that's playing exclusively in theaters grossed only $7.5 million over the weekend. First place again went to Disney and Marvel's Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, which added another $13.3 million in ticket sales, bringing its domestic total to $196.5 million. With little in the way of high-profile competition this weekend, Dear Evan Hansen's $7.3 million was enough to land it in second place. While critics were less than impressed, audiences gave it an A-.
I have some breaking news. I watched a movie this weekend.
No way.
Yeah, I know.
Get out of here.
Stillwater with Matt Damon.
Didn't see it, no.
It's pretty good, I must say.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Wow.
I know. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Glad you're with us. On the day of the 9/11 attacks, a guy named Abe Waxman had driven to his office in New York. As the attacks unfolded, he took strangers in his car to bring them to safety. A short while later, he picked up a family of three, among them a toddler. After dropping all the passengers at their requested stops, he told Fox News the toddler left behind a stuffed monkey toy. Well, 20 years later, in several cars since, the stuffed monkey left behind has been Mr. Waxman's constant driving companion. Now his daughter is on a mission to reunite that monkey with his or her rightful owner. The daughter said she believes the couple was from out of state. Mr. Waxman made a promise that if it was ever possible, he would give the monkey back to the child who lost it. That person would be in their 20s today. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.